You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, sponsored by flowmax.ie and bar1racing.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or any of your favourite podcast outlets. Now here are your hosts, Kieran Burke and Jonathan Breyer.
Hello everyone and welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. It's Series 4, Episode 17 tonight, and we're going to be joined on tonight's show by Galway United boss John Caulfield after their sensational 6-2 win against Longford Town on Saturday. And we'll also hear from Conan Byrne as well, so looking forward to speaking to Conan. Joining me as a co-host on this week's show, it's Gary Riley once again. Gary, welcome back to the show.
Thanks very much for having me, Kieran. I mustn't be doing too bad of a job.
No, not too bad at all, and we've got plenty to talk about this week. Two great interviews coming up, as I said. We're going to obviously start the show by speaking about the big story from the week, and that was Dundalk qualifying for the Europa League, and obviously lots going on at Cork City as well, and we've got all the fixtures from both divisions to touch on, so it's going to be a very, very busy night. So I hope you brought your A-game, Gary, but let's go back to last Thursday night, the Aviva Stadium, and I think it's fair to say Dundalk deserving winners against Key. They probably made it a little bit more nervy than it needed to be in the second half, but I think technically Dundalk were the much better side, and it probably would have been an awful shame if they didn't go through in the end.
Well, look, I think we said last week that it was a great opportunity for them to get into the group stages. It was a very kind draw. League of Ireland clubs probably were lucky in some cases and didn't capitalise, and unlucky in other cases and give a good account of themselves in previous years. But Dundalk really made it count. They were very professional, I thought. I thought they handled the game well, and they kind of lost their way in the second half, as you said, but they were by far the better team, I thought. And I think Steve Byrne said it during commentary that Key weren't brilliant going forward and didn't offer that much of a threat. But they certainly came into the game in the second half and made it a bit tight for Dundalk, but when they got the third goal, I think that was it. The game was done. So, well, congratulations to Dundalk. I'll be looking forward to seeing all the changes up in Oriel Park, hopefully when COVID is over.
Yeah, and look, the group stage has thrown up a real glamour tie as well. They've been pitted against Arsenal. They've also got Malmo, the former club of Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, and Rapid Vienna as well. Aside from the Arsenal game, where, look, obviously, I think there's going to be a big gulf in class there, even if Arsenal put out the reserves. But the other two games against Malda and against Rapid Vienna, is there a chance there for Dundalk to pick up some points in this group stage?
Oh, definitely. I think there's an opportunity there to actually get some points. And I know there's a good financial reward for getting a point or two on the board. Look, Dundalk will be looking to those games to get a few points, certainly at home. I think the games will be played in the Aviva, Cairn, is that right?
Yeah, that's right. And just going back to what you're saying about picking up points and the financial reward, I think it's €175,000 per point you pick up. And a lot more if you pick up a win. £1 million, €1 million if you win the group, €500,000 if you finish second. Now, look, some people might say they have ambitions of the second place finish, but that might be stretching it a little bit far. But if they could pick up 3 or 4 points along the way, it'd do the coefficient the world of good, and do their bank balance the world of good as well. I mean, if you look at their 2016 group, Zenit was the big name in that one. But again, Zenit wouldn't have the same type of stature as an Arsenal. So it's great that they've got that glamour tie this time around, even if fans probably won't be able to attend it. But it'll be good PR for the club if they can put in a half-decent performance.
Yeah, definitely. I think you're right. Look, it'd be great if Dundalk could certainly give a good account of themselves and not just be completely outclassed by Arsenal. It'd be interesting to see what type of team Arsenal put out. I know it's a bit away yet, but we all know the congestion of fixtures for both teams around that time will be quite high. So I think if Dundalk can give a good account of themselves against Arsenal and then really target those other games in the group stages, they certainly have a good shot of getting a few points on the board and getting that extra few pound.
Yeah, I think
it's a shame that fans, like, I don't know what way we'll be looking, what it'll be looking like, you know, in a month's time or so, but it'd be great if some fans could get in and see some of these teams, because you know it's a great achievement for Dundalk, and fair play to them to get into the group stages again.
Yeah, because UEFA are talking about 30% capacities at the moment. That would be roughly 15,000, the Aviva. That would cater for Dundalk's supporters absolutely perfectly. But obviously, with the games in Dublin, it's going to rely heavily on restrictions at the time. So fingers crossed they can get fans into maybe that Arsenal game for Christmas time. But just on they obviously played AZ Alkmaar in 2016, and they played a team from Israel. I think they were expected to win that game against the Israeli side at home. But to get a point against Alkmaar was huge at the time. It was the first time an Irish club had picked up a point in the group stages. When you compare those two teams against the two teams they've drawn this year, there's probably not a huge difference. So I think it's very realistic that Dundalk can pick up some points, and you could probably argue that Alkmaar actually would be better than the two sides they've drawn this time around.
Yeah, certainly. I think back to the Alkmaar game in 2016, they didn't seem to give Dundalk a whole pile of respect. But Dundalk really gave a good account of themselves. I know they went one down, I think it was in the first half, and then
Kildare got the later. Yeah.
Equalising the last few minutes, so but that was poor from AZ, and I think probably the other clubs learned from that mistake that Alkmaar made. But look, there doesn't seem to be a huge gulf in class between the, like we'll say, the lower teams within the group. So the Dock should definitely target those and look to put in a strong performance. As you said, they do their coefficient and bank balance are really good.
Yeah, and look, we obviously missed the boat in 2016. The podcast wasn't around then. I always wondered, will we get the chance to experience one of these runs again? And I didn't think it would be this year, but that's the way it's panned out. So hopefully we'll have some big name interviews and plenty of chat about those games closer to the time. But very exciting times again for Dundalk supporters. Let's move on and speak about their league game. We're going to start our Premier Division reviews from the weekend. They made 10 changes from that game on Thursday night for the game against Finn Harps at Oriel on Sunday, and they paid the price in the end because they picked up a 0-0 draw here, lost ground on the top three. As for Harps though, this could be an absolutely massive point for them in their battle for survival.
Oh, definitely. I think Cork City would have been watching that game being quite disappointed quite fearful of Harps picking up that point. I thought that, like, Dundalk seemed to, watching some of the game back, Dundalk seemed to have the lion's share of chances, and I know McMillan missed a sitter.
Yeah.
In the first half, which is quite disappointing, but look, Dundalk probably, I'm sure, are disappointed that they should be really putting Harps down quite easily, considering their class. But Harps were fighting for the point, and I'm sure they, you know, they'll be delighted with that heading back up to Ballybuffet. There was a shock for a penalty in that game. I thought it was 100% a penalty. What did you make of that?
Yeah, Stonewall penalty. I take it you're referencing the push on Adua by McElhenney.
I don't know how the ref didn't give that. I'd be quite disappointed with the ref there. But look, I'm sure Dundalk wouldn't be overly pushed about it, considering their success earlier last week.
Yeah, and just on Harps, we kind of touched on it on previous shows. I think I said it, they'll pick up points we don't expect them to pick up here and there, and that'll just keep their head above water, and that's what they're doing at the minute. Whereas you look at Cork, they can't buy a point, they're in big trouble, and Shells are starting to get closer and closer to Harps now as well. So Harps could still potentially get themselves out of that playoff spot and be safe altogether, but I still think they're favourites probably to finish in that playoff spot. But just on Dundalk, I want to send a message out to Dundalk fans here. Some of the whinging from Dundalk fans is absolutely unbelievable. Thursday night, they go and qualify for the group stages of the Europa League, bank themselves 3 million. Great job. Every other fan in the country would love to see their club achieving that. They make a few changes for Sunday and they pick up a draw. And some Dundalk fans, when you speak to them, the end of the world, this result. It was unacceptable, a disgrace, blah, blah, blah. You drew 0-0 against Finn Harps. You've two games in hand still to make it into the top three. You're in the group stages for the Europa League. You've won five of the last six league titles. You've won cups. You've had your fun. Jesus Christ, like, you can't have it every way.
Look, I suppose you get the taste of success and you don't want to let it go. I know if Longford Town ever got into Europe again, never mind getting into a group.
If Longford won the Leinster Senior Cup, I'd be on the drink for a week.
Look, I don't know about that for me. Lucas, I think a bit of, you know, maybe a bit more cop.
A bit of reality.
Sorry?
A bit of reality.
A bit of reality, yeah, certainly. Like,
you can't win every game.
They've 2 points two games in hand, which would put them straight into the top three,
yeah,
comfortably. So, you know, I don't really see what the big ordeal is. Harps are fighting. They just qualified. Dundalk just qualified for the group stages, and as I said, Harps are fighting for their lives. So, look, take it, move on. It's not great. You'd rather the win against a team fighting for in relegation, but come on, like. It's a successful season so far.
I think it just goes back, final point on this, it goes back to kind of a complacency that success is guaranteed, because I know some Dundalk fans I've spoken to in the last couple of seasons, they've been very disappointed with the atmosphere at games in Oriel at stages. Obviously when the big games roll around against the likes of your Rovers and title rivals and European games, the place is hopping, but there's sometimes where maybe the team is creating chances but they're not scoring, and it's a nil-nil game going into the last 20 minutes, and there's a kind of negative feel in the air, and the place isn't absolutely hopping like it should be, and maybe they're only getting 2,000 or 2,500 fans in, when a team doing so well you'd be expecting them to at least get 3,000 or more. Now look, you can talk about facilities all you like, but there seems to be a complacency that they've had so much success now that they almost feel it's granted some supporters, and I just felt that was another case of at the weekend, the overreaction to dropping a couple of points against Finn Harps. Let's move on from Dundalk, enough on them for tonight. Shells and Bowes was the Dublin derby at the weekend, and Bowes ran out 3-1 winners. Danny Grant with a hat-trick. For me, he's probably my favourite player in the league right now. I think he's an absolute baller. But for Shells, this bad run of form continues. They're starting to slide into real trouble, aren't they?
Yeah, they are. I think we had this peg last week as a huge game, and it was, but really Bowes just closed it out. I didn't manage to watch the game. I just watched the highlights in Soccer Republic, and it was quite it was quite disappointing from Shells. I don't think they were in the game at all, and a hat trick from Danny Grant, great performance. And it keeps them. Look, I think the league is beyond Bowes right now. I think Rovers need 4 or 5 points to close it out. But look, Bohemians will be looking to push on and not leaving a huge gap between them and Rovers. And it's good to see that Bowes are back amongst the top of the table. So fair play to them. But Shells are certainly looking over their shoulders now. Harps picked up that point, as we said, in Oriel Park at the weekend, and there's only 2 points between them now, so 4 games left. It could go anyway. Harps could find themselves clear of the playoff spot. While I do think Harps will be in the playoffs, I think Shelburne will want to have a bit of manners now and watch what Harps are doing quite closely.
Yeah, and it was just the manner of the goal Shells gave away. They absolutely gift-wrapped some of them. That I think it was Grant's second goal, where Georgie Poynton's caught in possession in the box, and Grant comes in and scores. But on Poynton, I actually want to give him a bit of credit. He missed a penalty, and he made that awful mistake, but he got a goal, and that showed good character from him. And we did pick out Poynton a few weeks ago as a player that had made that right back position his own at Shells, when it's not actually really his natural position. He's played there a few times, all right, but he's actually done well for Shells in recent games, and I thought he showed a bit of character to get that goal towards the end. And I would have been someone that criticised Poynton last season when he was with Waterford, and I thought his move to Shells was strange given how poor he was last season. And I know Georgie seen some of that criticism as well and was probably a bit stoned by it, but I'm delighted to see that he's proven myself wrong and other doubters wrong, because I think he's had a good season, but this was not his best night at the office at all.
No, certainly not. And to be fair, while Talbot made the save, it was a rubbish penalty as well. I think I would have thrown my hat on it as well. But no, he stood up and scored a nice header. It was poor defending from Bowes as well, though. You know, they were looking for the clean sheet there, and there was no real danger in that passage of play. So they'll be disappointed with conceding, but look, at the end of the day, that doesn't really matter. They got the 3 points and they'll be happy enough.
Yeah, you just do mention Talbot there though, Gary, and on a different day this game could have ended 3-3. He did make some really good saves. There was one where Kilduff got played in. Kilduff, I thought his touch was a bit poor, took him away from the goals, tries to chip Talbot, but Talbot straight out and smothers the ball. He saves the penalty. He made a few other saves as well. On a different day this could have ended 3-3, and that's just the story of Shells at the moment. They are creating the chances, they're just not taking them, and they're now starting to give away sloppy goals, so it's a toxic combination, that really.
Chances, and I think I can't remember who they were playing a few weeks ago, but we talked about it there as well. Really good chances. It was against Cork.
Yeah.
Really good chances. Really poor finishing, and they suffered a draw against Cork. They suffered a loss against Bowes at the weekend, and you know, didn't really need to be far more clinical. Like, whatever about making the mistakes, they still are creating good chances. But some of the finishing is just rubbish, like pure garbage. And I think if they don't start putting some of these chances away, Harps are going to catch them, and it'll be sooner rather than later, because look, you know how hard it is down at that end. So, and as you said, if they're continuing to make silly mistakes at the back, it's really going to cost them.
Yeah, and we'll be hearing from ex-Shells man Conan Byrne a little bit later on. We'll get his thoughts on how Shells are performing and a few of his other clubs as well. We're going to be running through the league season overall with Conan, as well as having a little bit of a chat about his upcoming season in the north with Glenavon. So looking forward to that. But let's move on to the next one, Gary. And this was a fairly significant result of the weekend. Cork 1, St Pat's 2. But really, it could have been an awful lot more for St Pat's on the night.
Oh, Jenny Mack. Yeah, Pats really started off great, and they had the pressure on straight away. They had a couple of chances, and a crazy own goal. Not really a crazy own goal, but just a poor own goal from a corner where it just wasn't really dealt with coming in from the corner, and then it was just unlucky, just was in the wrong place, and it just hit off him and went in.
Yeah, I actually want to mention on that one, I wouldn't criticise Ben at all. It's just, as you said, a hugely unlucky and strange moment. Where was Mark McNulty? He was absolutely glued to his line. He has to command his 6-yard box there. It's come right across his 6-yard box, that ball, and he is glued to the line.
Yeah, and on top of that, it was a shot from Chris Forrester from just outside the box. And to be honest with you, it wasn't much of a shot. It was a decent shot on target. You'd be asking your keeper to maybe catch that. It wasn't much of a save.
I thought I was actually going wide myself.
It probably was, but from the angle of the camera, I'd say you could give him the benefit of the doubt that it might have been hitting the post or something like that. Yeah. He wanted to be sure of it, but man, catch that.
Yeah, you know, I agree.
Put them straight under pressure again, and then not to rectify his mistake by commanding the 6-yard box, as he said, was just criminal. So and then, you know, almost a couple of minutes later, they had another goal, so I think it was a really bad, really, really bad start by Cork.
And that second goal the Pats scored, that was absolutely criminal from Cork City.
Oh, it was. It was shocking stuff. Like, even, and then, you know, before the shot went in, Cork had possession. They had the ball ready to clear it. It was a poor clearance, no urgency in the clearance, blocked down. And then fell to the striker and he scored. So, like, you know, Cork are having a poor enough time of it by any measure. And silly mistakes like that just aren't helping the situation at all. Like, they're conceding goals anyway without this stuff going on at the back. So, look, it's looking like a bad old situation for Cork at the moment.
Yeah, they just don't look like a team, Gary.
Oh, not at all, no. But one thing I will say about Pats, Pats should have been slaughtering that Cork team.
Yeah, I did want to bring this up with you, because I know we said on last week's show for Pats to kind of meet the ambitions that we had for them at the start of the season, you'd like to see them go down here and win 3 or 4, but they should have been 4 or 5-1. They hit the woodwork, they missed a couple of free headers. They did hammer Cork, even if it's only 2-1 on paper. It should have been an awful lot more.
Yeah, absolutely. But what's going on? Like, why haven't they done it? They had enough of chances, and, you know, it was an own goal and a mistake at the back that gave them their win.
Yeah, but like, I still think it was
good enough. I really don't think so. Like, I have my own reservations about Pats. I think their league position is probably kinder to them than the performances that they've put in. But look at the table at the end of the day. The table never lies. But at the same time, they really should be putting a few past Cork, getting a bit of confidence and going in for the running.
No, I think you've been a bit harsh there on Pats. You know, they've won the last two or three on the spin now. They're starting to show signs of form again. Look, I have reservations like you that maybe they're lacking a little bit of steel in certain places in the team. But this was a 2-1 hammering, if you can describe it like that. They were really, really comfortable. They were never in any danger of not coming away with the 3 points. I know Neil Fenn said in his post-match interview that on another day they could have came away with something. I don't know what game Neil Fenn was watching, absolutely deluded. And I know a couple of Cork fans, they said the exact same. So that's not me having a go at Neil Fenn. His own fans are saying that they were nowhere near this game.
No, they weren't. And like, look, I don't know what's going to happen with Cork coming at the end of the season, but like, Pats, it was exactly as you said, a 2-1 hammering. It was just really poor finishing from Pats. And like, look, they'll be happy enough with the win. That's what they needed to do coming to the end of the season. But, you know, it would have been a great boost heading back up to Dublin after sticking 4 or 5 past them.
Yeah.
Which is probably what they should have done. I think you have a bit too much growth for Stephen O'Donnell there.
And look, that's not the end of our discussion on Cork City tonight. Obviously, Darragh O'Connor left the club yesterday and he's put out a tweet which clearly indicates it was not his choice to leave. There's rumours of 6 or 7 players maybe considering their positions at the club, and there's a talk of a takeover breaking tonight as well on social media. So we have a lot to talk about Cork, but we're going to leave that until a little bit later on in the show. Let's move on to our next one. Shamrock Rovers 4, Sligo Rovers 0. Gary, I don't think we need to overanalyze this one too much. Goals from Finn Burke, Burnham Watts. I mean, those four players, just say them names out. Pure quality players. They've got quality all over the pitch. They're the best team in the country. They're going to win the league. And Sligo will fight on to live another day.
Yeah, pretty much. Can't say much more than that. Rovers, look to have it, or Shamrock Rovers rather, have looked to have it all sewn up. Sligo weren't really at the races at all throughout the game. I was really disappointed from a Sligo perspective for Finn's goal. There's a good angle that was on RTE last week where it just showed behind the goals, and it just showed Finn coming right across the defence into an absolute mile of space. He was able to flick it up, turn and volley it. Now, the keeper was poor, and I know he'll be disappointed with himself, but there was no one within an ass's roar of Finn when he made that. When he hit that volley, it's like a really, really poor defending from Sligo. Like, Shamrock Rovers have only been beaten by AC Milan in Tala this year. So if you're going to be given the like a Ronan Finn all the space in the world, just inside your own box, and then even when he does get the ball, there is no challenge on him, you've only really yourself to blame. But look, Sligo won't be measuring their season against Shamrock Rovers, so it's not the end of the world.
That's a really good point you make about the goal there, because I'd be disappointed if people were been very critical of McGinty in goals, because he's a brilliant young goalkeeper. That's probably the first mistake I've seen him make since he came into the team. I've seen him a few times live in Oriel, and he was man of the match in the two games I've seen him play, and I've seen him elsewhere and watching the streams as well. I think he's a brilliant young goalie with a good future ahead of him, and hopefully he'll come back from that mistake. But as you said, the team just let him down in front of him, even if his mistake obviously ultimately was the most costly of the mistakes. But I think Sligo just went up there and they were probably beaten when they got off the bus, and I think that's what this Shamrock Rovers team is starting to instill now. They're starting to instill the bit of fear that you would have associated with Dundalk down the years. When teams went to Oriel, they were nearly beaten when they left the dressing room, and I think Rovers are starting to develop that same winning mentality now.
Yeah, definitely. I don't think anyone can hold a candle to them this season, and if they manage to keep the bulk of that squad, I think there may be a couple of seasons of domination. But look, I just want to point out as well, what a brilliant ball by Jack Byrne for Burke's goal. It was just a lovely, lovely ball, and a great finish by Burke. You know, he had a lot to do when he gathered it up, but just a really, really sweet hit from Byrne.
And a great touch from Burr, because it's whipped into him at some pace and he's running onto it. I think most players, yeah, that are cannon off their foot for a goal kick.
I don't know about that. Burke did well. But it was all about the ball. The whole Sligo team was opened up by it. So great ball in, great finish. It was really nice to see. So fair play to them for that.
He's linked with Bournemouth now at the moment, Jack Byrne. So what you're saying about them trying to keep that squad together, it's not going to be easy.
No, certainly not. You know, and there's probably, you know, Bournemouth would probably be looking at a player like that for a bit of value or whatever. So, look, if they manage to hold on to him maybe for another season, it'll be very hard for them. But look, they may enjoy it while it lasts. You know, they've a great squad there. They're battering teams, so enjoy it. And looks like they need to be enjoying the league win celebrations. So fair play to them.
Let's move on to our final Premier Division game from the weekend. That was Derry 2, Waterford 0. Two penalties, and Clifford with both of them took them really well. What was your thoughts on these? Because I know a lot of people were very, very, very unhappy with the referee. I actually thought he got the two decisions right, I have to say.
Yeah, same. So did I. I didn't really have much complaints for those. I think we were talking about it last week with Waterford. They were going on an all right run. They'd you know, suffered the bad defeat to Rovers a few weeks ago. But we thought that, you know, the long old journey up to Derry might be difficult for them. But with Derry's poor run of form in the last few games, probably Waterford were looking for at least a point, maybe. But look, two penalties sorted that out, and probably eases the pressure off Declan Devine there.
Yeah, I don't think it was a vintage display by Derry. Any stretch of the imagination. No. I think we called this a 0-0 on last week's show, barring them penalties, it very well might have been that in the end.
Yeah, definitely. But I think, like, the way Derry were going, they just needed to put in anything at all, a decent performance was what was needed, and they managed to do that and come out with the 3 points, which really is all that matters considering the season that they're having.
Yeah, and we're going to hear from our first interview of the night. It's going to be League of Ireland legend Conan Byrne joining us now on Between the Stripes LOI podcast to look back at the season so far in the League of Ireland. Now, we had his good friend Con Murphy on the show not so long ago, and I'm delighted to say we've got the other half of the Greatest League in the World podcast joining us now. It's, of course, League of Ireland legend Conan Byrne. Conan, how are you keeping?
Kieran, how's things?
Not too bad. I'm going to try and make sure I don't call you Con during this interview, because I think I remember doing that when I was on your show maybe a couple of years.
Kieran, there's a bit of a difference between the two of us, in all fairness.
Yeah, I know when he was on the show with ourselves, he said he was very much missing it and doing it with yourself, but in fairness, of all years for maybe not to do the show, you're probably delighted this is the year, given how Rovers are travelling.
Oh God, can you imagine what it would have been like in that, sitting in the studio across from him when he's talking about Rovers? Yeah, probably, you're probably dead right on that, Kieran. Obviously, I'm missing the podcast and talking about the League of Ireland every single week. But yeah, definitely not going to miss listening to Con going on about Rovers. Yeah, 100%.
Look, it's great to have you on, Conan, and you're just in the middle of a pre-season now. Of course, you're with Glenavon in the Northern Irish Premier, so how's that going for you at the moment?
Yeah, it's going pretty well. I signed for Glenavon back in January, and because I hadn't played since September with Shelburne when we won the league, that long gap between playing for Shelburne and signing for Glenavon, like, there's only so much you can do on your own, training your own. And then when I went into the short, sharp stuff, we started picking up little niggles of, and kind of they were hampering me. And then I was playing through those injuries, so I wasn't really the player that I felt I was up there. And then when lockdown came, it was probably a blessing in disguise for me. Really got fit, got rid of all those niggles, came back in pre-season, and I think even Glenavon are feeling as if they've made a new signing. So I've been fit and sharp, and really looking forward to the season kicking off next Saturday. We're home to league rivals, actually, Portadown.
Yeah, should be a good one. And obviously, as you said there, maybe you didn't show the best of yourself when you went up there first. And look, you had a great career in the League of Ireland, so you have nothing to prove to anyone. But going into a new league, I'm sure you want to show them the very best of Conan Byrne. So you must be buzzing now for the start of this season and trying to get a good string of games together, injury-free, touch wood, and try and play your best football.
Absolutely. And I think you said there about not wanting to prove, that you don't have to prove to anybody. I always want to prove to myself that I'm capable of playing at the top level. And I feel that I am. I certainly wasn't doing myself justice in January, February, just with those little niggles that I had. But now I'm really eager to get going. Pre-season has gone really well. I want to show myself and the Glenavon fans and players that what I am capable of. But it has to come from within first. And I feel I have the quality is still there. And as long as it is, I'd like to keep playing at the top level.
Mm. And what's the goal this season, team-wise?
Team-wise, well, we had a poor season last year. We finished in seventh place, and for Glenavon, that's not great. They've been fighting for European places over the last 6 or 7 years, and they've had great European nights. So last year was a big disappointment. So a great cup run and possibly European football would be the aim for Glenavon this season. Now, a lot of the teams now have strengthened in terms of full-time football and bringing in big players. So it'll be a task because we're still part-time. But we've signed some very, very good players, some international quality and Northern Ireland internationals like Colin Coates, Michael O'Connor, Sammy Clingan's still there, Johnny Tuffy's in goal. So we've a very, very experienced squad. And really looking forward to see how everything gels.
Yeah, and of course, there was a time when clubs from the north would qualify for Europe and it was just seen as a one-off game. And there was often times where players and even managers went on holiday and it was a bit of a laughing stock at times, really. But the Northern Irish clubs, like the League of Ireland clubs in recent years, they've really focused on Europe. And we've seen clubs like Lingfield picking up great results in Europe. Do you feel that the NIFL, the league, is on a rise?
Oh, absolutely. We saw Coleraine this season and how well they did. They just missed out on the qualifying round there for when Motherwell bet them on penalties. So young Ben Doherty has been flying. He was at Derry a couple of years ago and he's doing really, really well. And as you said, Linfield are top side, really, really good. Played them last year. We were beating 8-1 up in Windsor Park. So it was my first visit to Windsor Park and it wasn't really a happy one for myself. But having said that, yes, they've been much more professional, and as you said there, the results prove that, and the money that generates from European football doesn't go unnoticed either, of course, in Northern Irish Football League.
Yeah, I don't know how much you knew about the league before you signed for Glenavon last January. It seems to receive less coverage maybe than the League of Ireland does, and as League of Ireland people, we're always giving out, we don't get enough coverage. But when you compare it to the Northern Irish League, it seems to get a lot more. So has it been difficult for you to maybe try and learn about certain players you're going to be coming up against and the likes?
Well, I suppose that's up to yourself, Kieran. I said I remember doing an I wrote an article for the 42 recently, and I talked about speaking to club scouts and opposition analysts about players that I may not have known about in the League of Ireland that are coming through and trying to get their strengths and weaknesses. And that's no different from playing up in the Northern Irish Football League. They're probably sick and tired of me now from contacting them and this season, where I'll be asking them questions about different players. Because you're right, I didn't know much about the Northern Irish Football League. I didn't know about some of the players that even Glenavon had. But the quality is there. The quality is really, really good. It is the top division in the country, in fairness. Some excellent players that have played in the league now that have gone on to bigger and better things. We heard the news about Mark Sykes at Oxford, who was at Glenavon, in fact, and he's changing allegiance to the Republic. But other players as well. Josh Daniels is at Glenavon. He's gone off to Shrewsbury. Joel Cooper as well, fantastic player that was at Linfield last season. He's going to go on to do huge things over in England. He's signed for Oxford as well. So yeah, it's going to be it's a really good and talented league. And the good thing is it's young. It's got great young players in it, and I'd love to see it develop and grow even further.
Yeah, and just final question on your connection with the Northern Irish League at the moment. Is there much talk in the dressing room among players about the potential for an All-Ireland League? It was a big hot topic before lockdown came along, but obviously it's been put to the back burner for now, given everything else that's happening. But is it something players overall in the league, do you feel they'd be in favour of it or against it?
I can only talk about my own dressing room, and because we're a part-time club, a lot of the lads are working away, and they find it very difficult here to go and play down in Cork on a Friday night after doing a day's work on themselves up in Belfast, let's say. So the appetite, I suppose, in my dressing room wouldn't be there. I'd say maybe 80-20 in favour of just keeping it the way it is. Mm. So maybe in a full-time environment, the likes of Linfield, Larne, possibly, they might want the to go ahead with the All-Ireland League. But as Pat Fennin has said, there's still, he's talked about it before. He's been involved in Linfield as a director, and he'd be the best man to talk to about that. But I remember him listening to him before, and even at Linfield, there's going to have to be people that need to be talked around into wanting an All-Ireland League. I think we're a long, long way off.
Yeah, very fair points you make there. Look, you've been good enough to come on the show today and have a chat about the League of Ireland and how it's developing so far this season. I know you've been keeping up to all the games on Watch LOI. Great to have that service now. But we might just start with, obviously, a club very, very close to your heart. That's St. Pat's. And I think we talked up St. Pat's on this show at the start of the year as maybe potentially European challengers. They've blown hot and cold at times this season, but they've got a couple of wins together now, and maybe we're starting to see signs of the Pats that we expected. What's been your thoughts on Stephen O'Donnell's start to life at Inchicore?
Yeah, look, I think Stephen O'Donnell needs time. It is his first managerial, proper managerial job. And I know he's looking after a college and university team, but I think this is a huge opportunity for Stephen. He's got a very experienced man in Alan Matthews in beside him as well.
Yeah.
And that will do him no harm whatsoever. Alan is steeped in League of Ireland history, as you know yourself, being a Longford man. With Pats, yes, they have blown hot and cold. They've been very inconsistent. They went 600 minutes without scoring a goal. I think Georgie Kelly has only got the two goals this season, and they came in the one game, if I'm not mistaken, against the Harps. And so that's going to take. That's obviously taking a little bit more time than Stephen would have liked. Martin Rennie he brought in from Montrose. That just didn't work out at all. He certainly wasn't a League of Ireland player at all. His quality wasn't up to it in my opinion. But having said that, I think they have quality all over the pitch in other areas that they should be doing better than what they are now. And I think we've seen glimpses of that over the last couple of games. I thought they were absolutely superb against Shelburne here, and Chris Forrester looked like he was completely back to his best.
Yeah.
Now I know Shelburne aren't really doing their performances have been very poor over the last couple of weeks, but I think that's the type of performances that Stephen will be looking to do from his side. So very, very strong defensively. Lee Desmond was very, very good, but attacking they were excellent, and they always looked like scoring when they went forward. I think that some of the signings that they've made haven't been great, but others have been. I think Jordan Gibson has been a good signing. David Titoff has also been in and out of the side, but when he has played, he's done well. I think it's just a matter of case of getting this season out of the way. Obviously, that they still might grab a European place, which would be remarkable if they did, considering where they were only a couple of weeks ago. I think Stephen O'Donnell is doing a pretty good job in his first full season at charge.
Yeah, and I raised the point last week that maybe Stephen O'Donnell might look to sign a couple of Stephen O'Donnell-like players in the upcoming off-season. As you touched on, they've got loads of quality there. They're not exactly lacking of experience. Obviously, Chris Forrester and the likes has huge amounts of League of Ireland and top-level football experience. But do you think he might look to try and sign some maybe battle-hardened pros just to shore up that side and try and bring in that bit more consistency, that winning mentality? Obviously, we've seen Benson come in. Maybe he looked at Dundalk again. They have a lot of players out of contract. There might be one or two there that have that winning mentality that could come in and help the group.
I wouldn't be surprised if he goes back to Dundalk, Kieran. As you said, that winning mentality is massive, and it breeds confidence. Winning games is like a habit. If you win, you get a few games under your belt. It's just a matter of time. If you feel like you're just going to go out and win the game. And I think defensively, yes, they have been kind of naive. I think they gave away very, very silly and careless goals, silly mistakes, individual mistakes like at that as well. But you've got to remember, Luke McNally is still a very, very young player. He's brilliant. Delighted that he got called in to train with the under-21s this week. Rory Feely was there. He's made a couple of errors, as well as Lee Desmond. You're probably right. They probably just need a little bit more experience back to shore up that defence. Brendan Clark has done really, really well. I think it's 5 clean sheets in his last 7 games, and he's done really, really well. I was surprised, actually, being honest, about him dropping Ian Birmingham, Kieran. I think, like, being club captain, and I played with Bermo for I think maybe about 8 or 9 years of my career, and he's been the standout left back, in my opinion, in the domestic game. So obviously I haven't been around Pats in the last year, so I don't know why he's not playing. But Shane Griffin has come in, and in fairness to Shane, he's kept a stalwart like Ian out of the team, and who can complain? 5 clean sheets out of 7. So yeah, they haven't been doing too badly.
Yeah, interesting points there. And if they can get a few wins going out between now and the end of the season, then, as you mentioned, York could still be there for them. Your most recent League of Ireland club, Shells, they took like a duck to water to Premier Division football this season after winning the First Division last season. They looked like they'd be absolutely fine. We were talking about maybe a European push, but obviously mid-table they would have been perfectly happy with that. But the wheels have really come off in the last couple of weeks, and you've got to be worried for them now getting dragged into that relegation dogfight down at the bottom.
Yeah, do you know why? I'm worried about their performances. With even at the start of the season, they mightn't have been playing the best football, but they looked like they were a team, a unit. And over the last couple of weeks, I haven't seen that. And it's very disappointing from a Shelburne point of view, because you have a manager in Ian Morrison, assistant in Craig Sexton, who are really get behind the team in terms of their preparation. I'm sure I was there last year. I understand the preparation that Ian went into it. It was very meticulous in organising his defence. And I think that was a problem might have been at the start. They might have been focusing too much on the defence because they really struggled for goals. There's no creative spark in the midfield at all. It seems to be like, his name has escaped me. Gary Deegan. Gary Deegan and Sean Quinn, very defensive-minded players, trying to break up the play, but they don't seem to be getting the ball forward. And when you have the likes of Kieran Kilduff, the likes of Jay's Cabia, you have Dale Rooney, you have Shane Farrell, you have Ryan Brennan, you have these type of players that can change a game. But you need to get the ball to them. And they don't seem to be getting the ball to them as much as they should. And when they do, it's as if their reaction isn't there up front, because they've made so many runs that the ball hasn't come, that they just don't make those runs anymore.
Yeah.
And I've had two spells with Shells. Obviously, they're a team close to me heart, but I really feel for them now at this moment in time. I if Finn Harps, they've been down there before. They've been in a dogfight. They got a great result on Sunday, and Shells could easily take that relegation playoff spot.
Yeah, definitely is a possibility at the moment. Harps are just picking up results here and there, aren't they? And that's just keeping them alive. That result against Dundalk on Sunday was great for them, another boost. But I think that's probably where we expected Harps to be this season. Down around, they're scrapping and giving everything. And at the moment, they're doing okay. But what about Cork, Conan? They're in massive trouble, aren't they?
Yes, Cork are in dire straits, Kieran. Even the news this week of them releasing Darragh O'Connor. Darragh O'Connor, a creative player that can turn a game in its head, and talk of other players as well being asked to leave the club. It's obviously, with Darragh's tweet, it's obviously that he didn't want to go. He was felt like he was pushed out. So yeah, very disappointing and very strange times down in Cork. Like, you'd think that you'd need players like that will have the potential to turn a game. I was talking about Shelburne there, getting a creative player in to try and create chances, but with Dara being taken off after 26, 27 minutes last week, and then you have Dylan McGlay taken off at the same time, there's two players that potentially change a game. Yeah, it's very, very strange. Very strange. And they have a massive game against Bohemians this week, and if they lose that, then, yeah, I said it from the very beginning. I think Cork will go down.
Yeah, I think that's probably the worst thing about this for Cork fans. The writing was on the wall from the get-go, wasn't it? With the players that left the club and the quality of player that came in and the markets they were shopping in, we're not surprised at all by where Cork are on the table. We're probably just surprised in maybe the manner of the performances, that they have been so, so poor.
Yeah, and like I've said it before as well, like bringing in players from England who aren't used to this league, and like this league, especially down the bottom end, it's a dogfight. Like, I remember back when with Pats in 2017 when we really struggled down the bottom end of the league, when the three teams went down, and it was an absolute dogfight, and we needed experience in that side. We had Killian Brennan in there, we had Bermo in there, we had Gerald Bryan on the sidelines, we had Brendan Clark. We had players there that could get us out. With Cork, I can't think of one apart from Alan Bennett maybe and Kevin O'Connor. And defensively that can get them out of that. Up front, no, I can't see them scoring the goals to get them out of it.
Yeah, and that's a good comparison you draw between this Cork team and your Pats team that were in huge trouble for a long time a few seasons ago. But as you said, the characters were there. I think I remember Billy Dennehy getting some crucial goals towards the end of that season as well for you. So you had the players there, and when you look at that Cork side, you just don't see it at the moment.
Absolutely, yeah. You mentioned Billy Dennehy. Billy Dennehy, how could I forget? He scored some crucial goals. Remember, we were 2-0 down against Cork, actually, with a couple of games to go in the season. And we turned around, we won 4-2, and Billy was instrumental in that victory that day. And we'd signed a lad called Jordy Balkin from Holland. And he was brilliant. He came in, and as a Pats player, he was the type of player that we needed in terms of he was strong at the back, but he could play ball, and he was calm under pressure. I don't see any calmness in the Cork team, and it just seems to be all helter-skelter with no end product. I'm sure Neil Fenn now, if he could turn back the clock here, and I'm sure he'd like to do that.
Yeah, and I get a feeling myself and Gary will be probably chatting about that a little bit later on in the show. But one of the Dublin sides, you didn't play for Shamrock Rovers. What a campaign they're having. Title, it's in their hands already, isn't it?
Ah, of course it is. Yeah, I think we've known that for a while now. Even just with the quality of the side right through. A lot of talk has been on Jack Byrne, and yeah, Jack is excellent. We think we all know that, but I think defensively they've been absolutely superb. Pico has come into his own as a top class centre half. And I know before he kind of was prone to mistake because his technique or his passing wasn't always the best, but he's improved at no end. And having the likes of Joey O'Brien beside him has been huge. And then you've brought in Liam Scales as well, and Liam he's going to be a top class centre half. And if we remember rightly, he went over. He was just about to sign for Bristol Rovers in England. He was going to get his lifelong dream of playing across the water. That fell through at the last minute. So even to come back from that mentally shows how strong a character he is. And Alan Madison goal, like mopping up everything, and then right through the team, there's just quality everywhere. Like there's no weak position in Shamrock Rovers. You might say they're number nine, the centre forward that might score the 20 goals, but look at the goals they've scored recently. They don't need that number nine. I've said before that it'd be great if they did have it, because then they'd run riot. But Aaron Green is a player that goes under the radar a little bit with the work rate that he puts in for the team. It's like a Firmino, isn't he? I'm not comparing him to him, but in terms of he doesn't write and score all the goals for his team, but he's there and he creates space for others and works his socks off just like him.
Yeah, it was a weekly talking point on this podcast last season about Aaron Green and whether he was the man to get those goals for Rovers. But I think, while he's not going to get 20 goals a season, he's very much proven a lot of people, including ourselves, wrong this year. He's been brilliant. What about Dundalk finally, Conan? Great result for them Thursday at the Aviva. The first Irish club ever now to reach the group stages of the Europa League for the second time. What have you met of the Coans on at Dundalk this season? An absolutely crazy story.
It has been a crazy story, and do you know what? I'm absolutely delighted for Gio Vignoli. He's come in. Media have absolutely hammered him even before he took a training session. I'll hold my hands up as well. I wasn't too keen on the idea of him coming in.
Yeah.
Considering his history, I thought Dundalk needed somebody that had a bit of League of Ireland experience to try and get them through it. But he's been absolutely magnificent, hasn't he? He's just brought them together. He's created a us against them scenario, where it's Dundalk against the rest of the league and against the rest of the media world, and look what we can do here. And he's brought them all together. Like, and the one thing I've noticed is about the confidence of the players. Like, some of those players where they looked shadows of their former self, and I'm talking about the likes of Michael Duffy, who wouldn't take anybody on, who wouldn't shoot when the opportunity was there. And he's put in man of the match performances now in the last couple of games. Brilliant over against FC Sheriff. Brilliant against Shelburne with a magnificent strike, and he was actually nominated for SSC Electricity League Player of the Month as well. So it just goes to show the confidence that he's instilled in the team. And sure, as I said earlier on in this chat, the wins breed confidence. And he's come in, and he might have had an easy start with Cove away and Shells at home, and then the Andorms, Escaldes over in Andorra, a 1-0 win. They probably should have won by more. But having said that, it's a win's a win. So that was three back-to-back wins. And exactly what they needed. Brought that winning mentality back to the club. They know what it's like. And last Thursday, they were absolutely outstanding. Like at two, I can just remember it, how a game changes on one moment in the game where the ball at 2-1, the ball comes across and your man makes a fresh air shot from 12 yards out against Gary Rogers. I don't know if you remember. He miskicks it completely and was a free shot at goal. 10 seconds later, it's in the back of their net down the other end for Daniel Kelly. They broke away quickly. Daniel Kelly slots in a third. So it just hinges on moments like that. But I'm just absolutely delighted for the club. But more kind of just for Giovagnoli as a person as well, because as I said, he took over this. This is his first role in senior management. Can you imagine how he's feeling now bringing a team into the Europa League group stage? It's absolutely fantastic. Great story.
Yeah, and it looks like he's going to be there next season as well, judging by some reports in the media in recent days. It'll be interesting though to see, obviously his goal for next season is going to be getting that league title back for Dundalk. There's a lot of players out of contract, as I hinted earlier on, at the end of this season. He's a man that doesn't really know the League of Ireland. I know Shane Keegan's on the coaching staff there, and there'll be people within the club that'll have their own opinions on players, but it'll be interesting to see what the transfer policy is.
Of course it will. I think they will have to probably expand their market a little bit and look outside the League of Ireland, but please don't look in England, because it's always looking at the lower leagues, and it's just they don't suit the standard of the league over here. I think we've noticed that with Jack Byrne when he went across over to try and play in League 1 and League 2. It just doesn't suit him. So the leagues are completely different. Chalk and cheese. So hopefully they'll go further afield. They brought in Kolovic last year. And look how good he's been. He's been absolutely superb for them. He was brilliant when he came on against Sheriff over there. And going back to Giovagnoli, I think tactically he's been absolutely superb in his team selection. But yeah, in terms of next season, they really need to recruit and recruit well. And we've noticed before with some teams that they haven't recruited as well as they would like. And I think the responsibility on recruitment should be with the manager. I know there was talk at Dundalk that other people were getting involved in recruitment process. But I think if they are to succeed, they should just leave it to the football people at the club.
Yeah. Conan, that's where we're going to leave it. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking to you today. I hope the pre-season continues to go well, and if you're ever playing Newry City in a cup game or anything, give us a shout and I'll pop out for a watch.
I'm actually playing them tonight in a friendly, Kieran.
Too late now.
Take care, Pete.
Conan, thanks very much.
All the best.
For all your industrial equipment, compressed air, vacuum, automation, mechanical and engineering needs, check out flowmax.ie, proud sponsors of Between the Stripes LOI podcast.
It'd be great to hear from Conan Byrne. I would have tipped out to watch him in that friendly match tonight, but obviously we're recording the show, so I hope he gets on well. Let's move on to speak about the First Division reviews from the weekend, Gary, and we'll start with probably the shock result of the weekend. Drogheda United 0, Athlone Town 2, goals from Ronan Manning and Tanner Dogan from the halfway line. I'm sure you've seen that one.
Oh yeah, what a banger of a goal from Dogan. Great finishing. Fair play to him for that. Yeah, it was a real shock. I wasn't expecting it at all. I think I had Drogs -1 on the child charity bet.
Yeah.
From last week, so my apologies to all my fans out there. Look, it really goes to show the type of First Division that we're having this year. It's really, really, really all over the place. And when you look down through the table there, you know, Athlone out in the middle of nowhere, really. Well, they're like top of the second half of the table, just above Shamrock Rovers 2 and Wexford. But to go up to United Park and beat them soundly 2-0, it's just a great result for them, and fair play to them for it. But it really puts a cat amongst the pigeons at the top of the table, doesn't it?
Yeah, and it did look like Bray might be about to drop points against UCD because Gary Shaw gave Bray the lead after 3 minutes, another goal for him this season. But Colin Whelan, what a campaign he's having, his first senior campaign after arriving from Waterford's underage setup. He scored to level things up on 42 minutes. But goals from Dara Lynch and Dylan Barnett gave Bray a massive 3-1 win. And as you said, the cat is really amongst the pigeons now in the title race.
Oh, definitely. It's very hard to know what way it's going to end up. Like, I thought Drogheda were going to push on, maybe, you know, and they would have been looking at the Athlone game as a great opportunity to put a bit of, you know, or keep at the top of the table, but really made a pig's ear of it and Bray capitalised. I know we were saying last week that the UCD Bray game was going to be tight, but look, Bray did what they needed to do. They went out, won comfortably in the end, so fair play to them for that, and they go back to the top of the table.
Yeah, do you have a favourite? Do you have a preference at the moment for who'll win the title, Drogheda or Bray? Or is there someone else you can see getting in the mix yet? I think it's probably a two-way race now, isn't it?
I think Longford Town will win it handily, Kieran.
Don't worry, we'll be speaking about Longford plenty in a moment.
No, I think, you know, it's really hard to know. I don't think you can... I can fall on one team here. I think Bray have a arguably a more difficult run in, so it's probably looking at Drogheda, but look, Bray can pick up points the very same way. They did what they needed to do after last time out, so look, they did what they needed to do. They responded after the loss against Drogheda, so they're backed up and they probably deserve to be there. So I know the last game of the season is at Lone and Bray, so it could come down to the last game of the season job for them, and you know, away to at Lone could be the decider for them.
Yeah, I'm still not for shifting on this. Drogheda is going to win the title for me, and I know when I spoke to John Caulfield after the Longford game, Drogheda were his title favourites as well. You'll hear more from John Caulfield on the show in a couple of minutes' time. Let's move on to Wexford against Shamrock Rovers. Disappointing result for Wexford here. They would have been eyeing this one up as a chance to pick up another win this campaign, but Shamrock Rovers 2 ran out 2-0 winners with goals from Brandon Kavanagh and Dylan Duffy. Those goals came inside the opening 15 minutes, so the Hoops boss has got to be happy with this team's defensive display, because they've gone 2 up early and then they've shut up shop and got a nice big win.
Yeah, absolutely. They did well. You know, it's a bottom of the table clash. It would have been, so it's pride more than anything else, that game. But, you know, Shamrock Rovers 2 did well. They went out, got the goals early doors, and as you said, shut up shop. So fair play to them for that. Wexford must be very disappointed, though, with a huge win, the week before, away to Cabo, and then at home to, you know, a reserve team of sorts. It's just not good to go down like that. So look, they'll be disappointed, but you know, they're playing COVID now on Friday, I believe, so they may have a chance to put that right, but COVID will be no easy feat for them. Suppose you could call that a derby, Kieran, could you?
I have to say credit to the Rovers babies. they've acquitted themselves well their first season in the league. I have to say, fair play to them. They came into the league off the back of huge negativity and a lot of objection to them being here, but they've held their own and they've done well, and be interesting to see if they can develop themselves and build on this next season. Speaking of Cove, they were beaten 2-1 by Cabinteely, and you know, after Wexford beating Cabo 5-1, we would expect them to beat Shamrock Rovers, but they lose, and you're probably expecting Cove then to beat Cabinteely. It doesn't happen. It's just an absolutely crazy league. It's totally unpredictable.
Really is. Cabo did well. You know, they kind of righted the ship there last week. It was a great result for them. I know they only won it in the last kick of the game almost. Yeah.
Marty Waters.
So fair play to them on that. But Cove would be bitterly disappointed. You know, they were doing well for the last few games. You know, that was a great win away to Galway. But look, you know, Cabo needed a result, and going down to Cove last Saturday was huge for them. So fair play to them on that, and it keeps them in touch of a playoff position.
Yeah, and they play Longford next. And speaking of Longford, they were beaten 6-2 on Saturday by Galway. Gary, as you know, we're supporting the town a long, long time out there. I'm going since about 2003, so 17 years, you can say. And I've often seen Longford Town get hammered. It's part of the job, I'm afraid. When you're following the town, you do expect hammerings time to time. But I've never, ever, ever seen a team totally collapse like the way I did on Saturday. Played their best football of the season for 44 minutes, Longford, 2-0 up. And yet again this season, they switch off either before or just after the halftime break. That period of 44 to 46 minutes, we'll say, just seems to be an absolute disaster for Longford. They just seem to always switch off. We've seen it up in Bray. They conceded straight away after the kickoff in the second half. There's been other examples this year. This is the latest example. They let Galway back into the game through a set piece. And then straight away they concede after the start of the second half, goes 2-2, and once it went 2-2, I knew in my own mind there was only going to be one winner, and it was Galway. And Galway absolutely hammered Longford Town 6-2. Carlton, the former Longford man, with a hat-trick, but that second half performance was an absolute disgrace.
Yeah, look, a really disappointing performance by the Town. As you said, they played really well in the first half, did what put pressure on, went 2 up, comfortable enough. I thought Galway were extremely poor in the first half, didn't really offer too much going forward. But then a killer blow for Longford and a great boost for Galway by getting one back just before the break. So, they would have been, they probably were happy nearly to get out of jail in the first half. The way Longford were playing, I thought they were excellent in the first half.
Mm-hmm.
But then to only go be one down at halftime was a great boost for Galway. But dear Lord, Longford really down tools in the second half. If following any team, you're going to get lots of ups and downs and brilliant times and poor times. But I was absolutely gutted watching that performance from Longford Town. And it could have been more as well as that.
Yeah.
To be fair to Lee Stacey, he made a brilliant save. In the second half, was it Carlton?
Yeah, it was. He tipped it over the bar. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And you were looking well. Like, fair play to you, Lee, but it didn't make a bag of difference come the end of it. But look, it was a really, really disappointing performance, and Longford players, they kind of want to probably take a bit of a look at themselves after a collapse like that. It was just awful stuff. And especially considering, we had the stream going, but to have an extra bump of fans in there as well, like, you have to hand it to the Longford ground staff and their work throughout the week to get the stadium above 5,000 fans. But for the fans to pile in and see that was just a real, real killer blow.
And what next now for Longford? I mean, they've changed the formation because we thought that was an issue earlier in the year. They've gone three at the back. Some people think it works, some people don't. We really seen it exposed the other night in that second half. There's been players change here and there, but is there a lack of depth in that Longford squad? Is Darragh Doyle can he not maybe make as many changes as he'd like? Is he relying on a lot of young players there perhaps to come in and try and make a difference?
Yeah, there's you could argue that there's an over reliance on youth at times, but Aaron McCabe has come in there and scored some important goals for us, so he deserves his place. I would probably think that there's a lack of experience and a lack of steeliness in the squad as a whole. And I'm not saying that there's a lack of steeliness on individual players, more so a lack of, real experience in the League of Ireland, where you have someone that can just drag you to a performance, or possibly nail an opposition player, to kind of set the tone or something like that. But look, it was just a gutless performance by Longford in the second half, and a real disappointing result after. A couple of nice wins there for us.
Yeah, I mean, a win the other night would have brought Longford to within 3 points at the top with three to play, everything to play for. But I said it a few weeks ago on the show, I question whether they had the stomach to go and win a league title. I think they don't have it, unfortunately. As you said, there's a lack of steel. Again, not in certain individual players. I mean, look at Darvin there. There's no one more steelier than him. He gets a kick and he gets up and gets on with it. But as you said, there's just a lack of collective experience. You look back to 2014, that performance the other night, that second half performance would never, ever have happened or be tolerated with players like Stephen Rice, Pat Sullivan, Pat Flynn, Davy O'Sullivan, Gary Shaw in the team. Simply wouldn't have happened. Longford don't seem to have those characters within that dressing room. I think they're a good few players short of being title contenders, and that's why there's now a gap developing between Bray and Drogheda, who have those characters, and Longford that don't.
Yeah. No, I completely agree. Now, we're probably being too harsh comparing.
I don't think you can be too harsh in terms of that second half performance the other night. It was the worst I've seen.
No, certainly not. But like, you know, to be fair, Longford were blessed with a brilliant squad that year. Some real top pros in League of Ireland football. So, like, look, I think I don't know if it was naivety or something like that. It was just, at the end of the day, it was a horrific second half performance. I think we've talked about it in weeks past about reactions and stuff like that. But Longford have suffered some poor, poor defeats this year. And, you know, you said the formation change and talking about reactions and stuff like that. You can't be looking for a reaction every single game.
Yeah.
You know, either you have the reaction and you push on, or you don't. Longford seemed to have reacted after, you know, a poor performance in the first half against UCD. They ended up winning that game, gone down to Athlone, won that game, but then just collapsed completely against Galway after going 2-0. I think the time for asking for reactions is over. Longford should be just looking to consolidate their place in the playoff positions, which I think everyone would agree there.
Yeah, final point on Longford. Obviously, they play Cabinteely this weekend, but Longford are in real danger now of losing their playoff place with Galway coming up behind, Cove still in contention. Do you think Longford will finish in a playoff position?
Look, if you last week I would have said yes. It was fairly sound that Longford would finish there in the playoff positions comfortably enough, but I'm just not as confident about it as I was. If Longford don't really batter Cabinteely on Friday, at least in their performance, you'd know a reaction wasn't got. So yeah, it'd be anybody's game then, and Longford look to be in real trouble for the playoffs come Friday evening.
Cabinteely have been Longford's bogey team now for a number of seasons, so if Longford can't get a result up there on Friday, then you'd have to argue they haven't really come on from where they were 12 months ago. But look, enough doom and gloom on Longford Town. Let's hear from a very, very happy Galway United boss, John Caulfield. I spoke to him after the 6-2 win on Saturday.
I'm here on the pitch at Bishopsgate with the victorious manager tonight, John Caulfield. A 6-2 win against Longford Town. John, your team were 2-0 down after 44 minutes. Longford give away a cheap set piece, but the quality of the delivery from set pieces tonight from the likes of Christopher and from Duggan was absolutely superb, and it's played a big impact in your team getting back into that game tonight.
Yeah, because, you know, in every level of football, set pieces are huge. You know, people all want to play the beautiful game, and we all understand that. But in every match, set pieces, whether it's free kicks or corner kicks, are absolutely massive. I'm not sure the stats, someone tells me 50% of goals come from set pieces, but believe it or not, tonight we hadn't scored from any corner kick, you know, which is hard to imagine when you see the set piece delivery. But we worked really hard this week about getting the delivery into the danger areas, and that's what we did. So but to be fair, we conceded a soft goal. Longford were outstanding. They were playing really well. We gave another soft goal away, but they counter-attacked really well. But we had created one or two chances to get ourselves in the back in the match, and we hadn't, and then we scored before half-time, which was important. But in the second half, obviously, we got into the game. We were more high pressure. We moved the ball a lot quicker, and we used our pace. And obviously, when you get to 2-2, then, you know, the game was on. But the second half was really good, and it's probably, you know, the way I want to try and work the team, what we're looking for. But we have to be consistent, and so it was a great win, but we move on to Friday.
You've come here tonight without two players that have had a big impact since your arrival at the club. Mikey Place obviously suspended from his red card last week, and Enda Curran as well was out injured tonight, I assume. The players that have come in, though, they've done a great job for you tonight. It shows the quality and the strength and depth that is here at Galway for you to work with.
Yeah, we've always said that, the quality there. But and Sligerman came in goal because that was his first game. Yeah. Kevin got concussed. But at the same time, when you look at it overall, Mikey played well. And, but, you know, you look at the young boy, Wilson, came out of the youth team. You know, absolutely tremendous potential. Still a bit raw, but did exceptionally well today and got the goal for himself. And but I suppose the most important thing, there's opportunities for the guys, like when fellas are out, to come in to see what they can do. And you always need that. You have to have strength and depth. And but the lads, their attitude since we've come in a couple of months ago has been fantastic. And you know, but it's all about consistency and every week performing to the level you can. And if you do that, you have a chance. And if you don't, you won't. So I'm just delighted after last week, you know, because we got well beaten by Cove. Didn't do, you know, we chased the game, that we gave away a soft goal, and maybe something would have happened tonight, but there was a reaction, and I have to be happy with that.
And just going back to Michal Sligerman, there was a time where he was regarded as the very, very best goalkeeper in the Premier Division. You've gotten back into the club after a spell away from the League of Ireland. You've got Kevin Horgan there as well, that's played at the very top with Shamrock Rovers. So if you're going to get promoted out of this league, let it be this year or maybe down the line next season, you need to have those experience head in the dressing room to bring on the young players as well, don't you?
You do, but Matt McNulty and Gary Rogers were the two best keepers in our league for the last 10 years, and I make no doubt about it. Michal was a very good keeper, but they were exceptional goalkeepers. But yeah, you look at, he has loads of experience, and Kevin coming back from Shamrock Rovers. Kevin's still a young keeper. You know, at the end of the day, you know, Rogers and McNulty are playing at 39, 40 years of age. Kevin is 22, 23. He'll be a fantastic goalkeeper, and he's learned the game and lots of experience with Shamrock Rovers. Michal is different. He's been around a long time, has had a number of injuries, but he was very good tonight and very sharp, and I'm delighted to have him.
And as we often see, a player coming back to haunt his former club. Carlton was here last season. Didn't have a big impact, but I think injuries played a big part in that. He was always highly regarded in the youth team set up at Dundalk, and he's shown his qualities here tonight. A fantastic performance off the bench to get a hat-trick.
Yeah, well, the thing with Carlton is that he's like a lot of lads that are around the league that have tremendous talent. It's whether they want to apply themselves to be a professional footballer. And since we've gone to Carlton, he's featured very little for Galway. But we've seen things in him that we think he could be an exceptional player. But he has to decide, you know, where he wants to go to, because he's unnatural talent. But, you know, you have to work hard. You have to be as fit as you can be. His pace, strength, everything. But he needs to get fitter. And I'm delighted for him, because maybe tonight might bring more confidence, but that guy could do anything if he gets his head right. And I don't mean that in a bad way, because he's a brilliant young fella. But too many kids think they do enough and they're in and out of the teams. He has to be a regular in our team, and that's what I'll be hoping he will be over the next number of seasons. So we'll wait and see, but definitely it was a fantastic hat-trick by him.
And he came on for Conor Barry. Now, Conor Barry is an excellent player as well. A different type of player to Carlton, more technical, maybe doesn't have the same pace, but works in tight areas. And he came off, I don't know, was that an injury or maybe a tactical change? But again, the impact that Carlton made off the bench, he gives you that extra something, doesn't he, with his pace and his technical flair as well.
Yeah, and just tough for Conor, because, you know, we hadn't got much of the ball and he had been struggling with a groin. He missed the game last week. And so he came back in, and he had been out, missed training for probably 7 or 8 days. And the game was quick tonight and very sharp. And so it just hadn't gone as well for him. And Carlton's a different type of player. And obviously tonight it worked out, you know.
And look, what was said at half time, 2-0 down, going into the 44th minute, you get yourself back in the game. But you'd probably admit it wasn't your best first half performance. Was that, were there words exchanged in the dressing room at half time, or how did you get your team to come out like that in the second half?
No, I think the management spoke to the players, and we have a very good management team, and spoke about the players just hadn't done themselves justice. We trained really well all week, and they just hadn't done enough, and it was time to go out and do what we'd done all week. So, and that's what they did. So, you know, very happy about the second half, and very happy with the win, because, you know, we roll on to draw the next week, huge game, and gives you another chance of trying to play well. So hopefully, you know.
Yeah, final question just on that draw of the game. Absolutely massive game. Nobody seen that result coming last night when they were beaten by Athlone, but it just goes to show anyone can beat anyone in this league. And I'm sure you're going to be rolling in full of confidence now after this result tonight.
Well, I saw the result, because I see the result every week, that in this league everyone can beat everyone. If you're not on your game, that's the way it is. And, you know, Drogheda were really good last night, really powerful. Had 3 or 4 chances, didn't take them. And if you don't put up teams away, you're leaving the game open. But, you know, Drogheda will probably win the league you know, they probably expect to win the league. They've been at the playoffs the last couple of years. They've invested heavily, a lot of Premier Division players. And but it's a fantastic game for us.
Yeah.
You know, we, like 2 months ago, we were nowhere. And all of a sudden, we're causing havoc with the teams in the playoffs. And, you know, and we're on the outskirts. So, you know, it'll be a massive game. And we just look forward to that.
Yeah, and finally, great to have fans back here. And I'm sure you're looking forward to welcoming your fans back to Eamon DC. It just gives that little bit of extra edge to the night, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does, I suppose. If you're losing on, you're the home manager, maybe you might want fans, you know. But yeah, but it is good. It is good, of course. Yeah.
We'll leave it there, John. Thanks very much.
Thanks very much.
Between the Stripes LOI podcast is proudly sponsored by BarwinRacing.com. Check out our website for weekly League of Ireland previews, enhanced offers and double the odds first goal score matches, among other incentives, with a €30 free bet available to new customers. T's and C's apply. Barwon Racing, nobody does League of Ireland better.
Sticking with the First Division for now, Gary, let's talk about the fixtures upcoming this weekend. Unfortunately, I'm sure our listeners know by now, Galway United against Drogheda, which I was just talking with John Caulfield there a moment ago, what a big game it would have been. Unfortunately, that game is off. A Galway player has tested positive for COVID-19. Fingers crossed everyone will be okay there, but that big game off. So we'll move on to the next one. That's Wexford against Cove. Tough one to call, Gary?
Yeah, tough one there. It'll be, you know, a very important game for Cove to keep in touch with the rest of the table. Look, probably Cove are a bit too far away for a playoff position. They're 6 points off. They have an outside chance, but if they don't pick up 3 points here, they'll be in.
Yeah,
you know, they'll be in also ran for the league. So, look. And as we said earlier, a disappointing performance by Wexford, you know, losing against Shamrock Rovers too. So it'll be a very tight game. I think Wexford will be looking to, you know, tighten up at the back, make it a very tight game for Cove to capitalise. So I'd say we're probably looking at a very low-scoring draw here. But I think if anyone is going to win it, it'll be Cove.
Yeah, Cove just seem to have the ability this year, when they look out of contention for the playoffs, they just always get that big win and get themselves back into the picture. And I know it's 6 points at the moment, but they win here and a team above them slips up, maybe a Longford, then it's only three and it's everything to play for. So I'm going to side with Cove here, but I think Wexford, they'll be looking to the likes of Jack Doherty here to try and create something. I know you said they'll want to tighten up at the back, but this is a game they'd probably be marking down as one they could win at home. So I think they'll probably be a little bit more open than usual, but Cove might just punish them for that. I'm going to side with a Cove win, but again, it's just a flip of the coin at times in this division. Athlone against UCD. UCD, they shouldn't go into this one underestimating Athlone, because Athlone showed everyone what they can do the other night up in United Park. But will UCD just have a little bit too much class for them? But that's what everyone said about the Drogheda game, of course. So again, it's very hard to call.
It is very hard to call. It truly is. I think if UCD again will be, you know, they had a loss at home last week against Bray, which is huge for Bray. But UCD, they're looking to get into the playoffs themselves, so they need to be going looking at this game, giving that loan a bit of respect, and looking to be thoroughly professional about it. If, depending on fixtures, depending on the Longford and Cavantilly game, UCD could get into a playoff position by Friday night. So they'll be looking at this game as a huge game against, you know, a poor enough Athlone team, but who have made serious improvements over the last few weeks. We said last week about Athlone not being completely outclassed by Longford, even though Longford won 4-0, they actually put in a good performance and weren't beaten soundly by Longford. Then Athlone go up to United Park and beat Drogheda, so they're looking, you know, to this UCD game in a completely different way than they would have done a couple of months ago.
Mm.
So it's going to be a very tough game for UCD, and very, very tight one to call.
Yeah, I think the point you make, though, is very, very, very valid. UCD could be in the playoff positions come Friday night. We're getting towards the business end of the season now. Only three games left. They know there's no margin for error. Their mind should be focused on the fact that Athlone beat Drogheda, so they won't be taking Athlone for lightly. I think UCD will go down there. They'll put in a thoroughly professional performance. I'd expect UCD to win this one.
Maybe I've been overly kind to our near neighbours, but I think Athlone will put it up to UCD, and I think Athlone may come out with a draw.
We'll move on to the next. Yeah, interesting. We'll move on to the next one. Cabinteely against Longford, and look, I have to say I'm very, very, very down over last Saturday's result. Usually a result comes and goes, and the next day it's gone and it's forgotten about, and I'm looking forward to the next one, but. I know, because I was texting you about it. You know how down I was, and I know you felt the same. I haven't felt as negative going into a game this season as I have this game at the weekend. I can't see how Longford bounced back from that one. I hope they do. I hope I'm wrong. But given the fact Cabinteely are Longford's bogey side, Longford never perform well up in Stradbroke. I can only see one winner, and it's not Longford.
Yeah, it's not looking great. Cabinteely are Longford's bogey team, and they have been over the last couple of years. Last year, I thought Longford were a bit unlucky in the playoffs. What I thought was a clear goal last year up in the first leg in Stradbroke, what wasn't given. I thought the ball was across the line. So it's not a happy hunting ground for Longford, let's say. But look, as I said earlier about Longford, they've been asked for reactions, and sometimes they've come, other times they haven't. So you'd be questioning what type of reaction it is at all. Cabinteely have obviously had quite an interesting season. They've been up, they've been down, they were leading, they've been down further than they are now. So it's kind of hard to know what type of performance Cabinteely are going to put in. They beat Longford quite soundly last time out in Bishopsgate. So, you know, you could argue that Longford would be looking to give them a bit of payback, but I think Longford Town would be looking for a bit of redemption themselves, regardless of who they're playing. It just makes it a bit more difficult that it's Cabinteely and Stradbroke.
Yeah. Just to mention, Cabinteely are streaming this one, so I'll have a weekend off for once. Obviously, we've been both busy with the Longford Town stream in recent times, but I'm looking forward to watching this one at home. It's €5 to get the stream. So if you're a Longford or a Cabo fan, obviously you can't attend the game, so make sure you give Cabo the old fiver. It's great that the clubs are providing this service. Let's move on to Shamrock Rovers 2 against Bray. Then we'll speak Premier Division. It's a reduced Premier Division schedule this week for obvious reasons. But Shamrock Rovers 2 against Bray. Could be a tricky little tie for Bray this one, but they got the job done against UCD, and if they can replicate that here, they'll be more than happy.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Look, with the Galway and Drogheda game being postponed, Bray will be looking to put a bit daylight between them now. Drogheda, of course, will still have a game in hand. But, you know, even for the psychological aspect of it, Drogheda will be looking at the table, and there might be 5 points between the two teams with two or three games left between the two of them. So, look, it's a huge game for Bray. You'd expect them to go up to Tala and put Shamrock Rovers 2 to the sword and continue in their push for the title. To be honest with you, I can't see any other result myself. I think there's a bit too much experience and too much firepower on the Bray team to be worried too much about Shamrock Rovers 2. But then again, of course, you know, Shamrock Rovers 2 had a good result last week, so they'll be on the up from that. But I think Bray does have a bit too much class.
Yeah, I have to agree with you on that one.
Yeah.
Moving on to the Premier Division previews. As I said, it's a decimated fixture list because Pats and Dundalk, that's just broken in the last hour or so. Fortunately, that game is now also off, as a Pats player has tested positive for COVID-19 again. We hope everyone is okay at St. Pat's. So that game is off, and there was only two other games scheduled anyway, Bowes against Cork and Waterford against Shells. We'll start with Bowes against Cork, Gary, and we'll get into Cork City a little bit more here and what's been going on the last couple of days, or what's reported to have happened down there the last couple of days. But when things aren't going well for you, the last place you probably want to go at the moment, aside from Tala, is Dalymount Park, and Cork could be in for a right pasting here, and if they are, you'd have to say that's curtains.
Absolutely. Look, I think that's the end of it for Cork, really. We kind of gave them, well, I certainly gave them the benefit of the doubt over the last few weeks. I thought they were putting in decent enough performances and some results not going their way. But I think after the weekend's news and stuff like that, I think they're in for a right pace in here,
yeah.
As you said. Look, Bose, as you said earlier, the league is beyond them, but you know they want to close it out, get a few wins in the bag, and not just be miles away from Shamrock Rovers, and they've great opportunity here. Dundalk will need to, Cork will want to put in a monumental performance that they haven't done all year.
Yeah.
To get anything out of this game. I just don't see it happening at all.
Yeah, because as you said, there was little signs that maybe Cork were going to start producing something. They had the draw against Finn Harps, but I think the first indication of major trouble was that performance at home to St. Pat's the other day, because there was a small number of fans allowed back into the ground, and you could hear it on the stream. They were getting behind the team. The drum was out. They were singing. They were chanting. It was great to hear. But with that, you would have expected some sort of reaction from them. And to me, it looked like the players totally down tools. So for me, there's a question over whether the manager has lost the dressing room there. Then the situation about Dara O'Connor comes out. There's rumours that other players might be heading for the exit door as well. And as I said earlier, you've got off the pitch and away from the dressing room, you've got this uncertainty now over a takeover. And all you have to do is search the manager's name online at the moment, and you'll see he is getting a torrent of stick from his own supporters as well. A lot of them want to see him gone from the job. Now, I think you could put Jose Mourinho in there at the moment and it'd make very little difference. I just don't think they have the players, and I think the writing's been on the wall a long, long time at Cork in terms of relegation this season. But Neil Fenn, his position at the club has to be under major scrutiny now, doesn't it?
It is. Like, look, you know, from last season, he went into a very, very difficult job with a lot of players heading out the door, not much of a budget to play with, and that really proved in the off season. You know, bringing in a lot of unknown players, to say the least, on loan deals and stuff like that. You know, was it ever really going to work? I suppose he was trying to live within his means, which is fair enough, but I don't think to, you know, looking back at it now, at different points throughout the season, they were never going to do much beyond 9th or 10th, so look, it's not a great situation, and certainly the news from Darragh Connor as well was, I don't know if it was a shock to see it come out. Was it 30 minutes he was taken off after against Pats?
Yeah. I think himself and McGlade were hooked, weren't they?
That's right. So look, you know, maybe there was a bit of a hoo-ha in the dressing room or something like that. I haven't heard anything, but you'd imagine, you know, two down at home, needing some form of result, and Darragh Connor's taken off. It's probably, you know, it doesn't look well. But look, Neil is under an absolute mountain of pressure, and kind of has been since he walked in the door. So look, it's not great to see, but at the end of the day, yeah, it doesn't look like Cork have entirely lived within their means over the past 12 or 18 months. So this is the result. This is what happens.
Yeah, let's move on to the other game taking place this weekend in the Premier. Waterford against Shells. Good chance for Waterford to bounce back after that defeat in Derry. Shells just need something, don't they, to stop the rot. But Waterford, not the easiest place to go. I think I'd have to side with a Waterford win here.
So would I. Waterford will be disappointed with that result against Derry. But Waterford will be, you know, they need to get a good win here, and Shelburne is a good team as any to hopefully get 3 points on the board. With Pats off this week, maybe psychologically there's a bit less pressure on Waterford to perform, knowing that, you know, they don't go in at the end of the game seeing that Pats have also won. I know that game is against Dundalk, so you'd be thinking that Dundalk will need to win that game themselves, but I think Waterford will have enough to do a job on Shelburne. It'll be a tight game. You know, Shells haven't been slaughtered really in any game this year, but they've still been beaten in many of them. So look, it's really tight for Shelburne at the minute, and look, it's a tough place to go down to the RSE, and it'll be tight for them, but I think Waterford will have enough to win 1 or 2 nil.
Yeah, with that in mind, let's move on to the final segment of tonight's show, and it's, as ever, our charity bet, kindly sponsored by bar1racing.com. They give us a €10 free bet to use on the show each and every week, in which we try to raise some money for charity. Our chosen charities this year, Pieta House and Autism Services in Dundalk. We've only got about £60 in the pot at the moment, so we really want to build on that. And with the limited schedule this week, Gary, I've gone for just two fixtures, a double, because I really want to just try and top up the fun now at this stage, because we're running out of time. And it's been a long, long time since we had a drink from the well now. So I just want to get a little bit of winning momentum behind us. So my charity bet this week is a very simple double. It's Bowes -1 against the troubled Cork City. And it's Bray Wanderers to win away against Shamrock Rovers 2 in the First Division. And a fiver there should return about €16.
Yeah, look, I have to hold my hands up there. Some of my charity bets in recent weeks haven't been... haven't come to much fruition, so my apologies for that. I think the Bowes -1 is a good shout as well.
It's good value as well. I think it's about 10 to 11, I think I'm right in saying.
For Bowes -1?
Yeah, it's very good value. I was surprised with that.
Yeah, that is very good. I might have to consider that myself. But look, I think for myself, I go with Bowes -1. Against Cork, and what else do I have? I think I'd say for me it'll be Athlone UCD draw.
I don't like these draws. You know how I feel about draws in a accumulator.
And then Bray to win.
Right, okay, so you're going for a treble. So that was Gary going for Bowes -1 against Cork, Athlone and UCD to draw, and Bray to beat Shamrock Rovers 2. So, yeah, fingers crossed we can get some winning momentum behind us before the end of the season. But that's a wrap for tonight. I hope you've enjoyed tonight's show. Thanks to John Caulfield and for Conan Byrne for joining us. And Gary, once again, thanks very much. Really enjoyed your company as ever.
Well, thanks very much for having me on. Really enjoyed it this evening. Hope everyone else enjoyed it as well. Thanks very much.
Yeah, and as ever, we'll be back again next week with another show. So make sure to subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts from. We're on all of them, Apple, Spotify, all the rest. And you can leave a review on Apple as well. And we'd love to hear from you on social media as well. If you've got any questions or any feedback or reaction to tonight's show or anything else going on in the world of the League of Ireland, drop us a tweet on @BetweenStripes, and you'll find us on Facebook and Instagram by searching for Between the Stripes. But that's where we'll sign off for tonight. Once again, thanks for listening to the show, and we'll see you again next week.